Welcome to Power Play on a day when a trade tiff took the skies between the largest aircraft manufacturers in Canada and the United States. Coming up, we'll go to Washington to size up this highly subsidized dogfight and the lofty stakes if the decision goes against Canada's Bombardier. And there's a brand new government and budget for British Columbia. We will ask the finance minister if the books are dramatically different under NDP rule. And there's plenty of grass in the pot. At the end of the legalization rainbow, Colorado has 3 years of experience selling legal cannabis. That state's marijuana revenue czar shares his taxing experience. But first, last night's evacuation of 301 Canadians from Hurricane Irma's path wraps up the rescue of almost 700 Canadians. And now humanitarian aid from Canada is being rushed to the victims. Here's a lineup of cabinet ministers explaining Canada's response when it came to getting their citizens out of the disaster zone.
Thoughts are with everyone affected by Hurricane Irma. Transport Canada continues to facilitate operations between airlines and Global Affairs Canada, who is leading the effort to provide assistance to stranded Canadians. I would like to offer my sincere thanks to Canadian Airlines, who have provided relief efforts, including working with the Red Cross, transporting food, water, and other supplies, and offering seats to Canadian passengers.
We are following closely the situation in Cuba, in Florida as well. But in Cuba, we had preliminary discussions with, of course, the Red Cross and also the World Food Program to evaluate the needs. And these organizations know that they can count on the support of Canada when the action plan is ready.
We must be precise about our response so we contribute positively to relief efforts. Now, together with Global Affairs, the Canadian Armed Forces is assessing the best ways to assist those hit hardest by this hurricane. They will continue to monitor the situation closely and remain ready to assist when asked.
I am very aware of how difficult this ordeal was for Canadians, how frightening, how uncomfortable, and I'm really glad we have most Canadians home. We were all very, very worried about them and working hard. As the Prime Minister likes to say, better is always possible. And in the weeks to come, we will be interested to hear from people who were in the region about their experiences and think about how we can do a better job next time.
All right, let's head over to The Rock, where CTV Ottawa Bureau Chief Joyce Napier is covering this cabinet huddle. Boy, Joyce, judging by that multi-member cabinet damage control on the evacuation, they're feeling the heat. What you make of this response?
And on top of it, Don, it is the second day, because remember yesterday, Chrystia Freeland in Toronto, before coming here, had a press conference and was trying to explain sort of both the breakdown in communication, obviously, with the stranded Canadians in the Caribbean and the slow-moving operation to bring them back home. And now we do know that there are 691 Canadians now during the weekend and yesterday that were finally brought home by commercial airlines. And because last week Global Affairs was saying, well, look, it is the commercial airlines that will bring them back home. And in the meantime, you know, they spent some pretty terrifying days and hours cooped up in their hotel rooms, some of them listening to gunshots outside, hearing looters. So not a very nice moment for them. And yesterday when they arrived at Pearson, that's 301 of them. Well, Chrystia Freeland, the minister that you just heard, was there to greet them. So looks like this is a government in, you know, sort of damage control, if I've ever seen one. So obviously, yes, there were four again today trying to explain what happened. And the question that, you know, we were trying to ask the ministers is, well, then why not send in the military, as the Dutch did, as the Americans did, to airlift these Canadians? If it was possible for other countries, then why was it not possible for Canada? And you know that Air Canada jet or WestJet that was stranded for a day in Turks and Caicos because it couldn't take off for security reasons. The officials over there were telling Canadians this jet couldn't take off. All this is, you know, sort of difficult for us to understand why it took so long to bring Canadians back home.
Right. All right. On another topic, our ambassador to Washington, D.C., was a guest of honor at this retreat behind closed doors, but he did come out and have some things to say. So let's just bring in a clip of what he had to say about NAFTA, Bombardier, and the British government's involvement.
You know, we're happy that they are weighing in on what we think is an unreasonable and unfair trade action taken by Boeing. And clearly, if I were in Boeing's shoes, I would think that having one of your largest customers, the UK government and some of the airlines in the UK, raising this kind of a concern, I'd be worried about it.
Interesting stuff on this fight, but it's also, he brought him up to speed, I guess, on NAFTA. Any sense of what else he told them?
Well, he talked to them about NAFTA, but the interesting thing about the Boeing and Bombardier spat is that Theresa May, the Prime Minister of Britain, will be in Ottawa. And here she is, a nice ally for the Canadian government. And, you know, David McNaughton was saying that it was a month ago the Brits got in touch with the Canadians and said, hey, you know, we're on your side, Bombardier. There are a lot of Bombardier jobs in Northern Ireland. We want to protect those jobs. So we're on your side on this. So Canada has an ally, and Theresa May is coming, as you know, on a visit next Monday to Ottawa, and I'm sure that will come up.
Okay. Tomorrow the cabinet retreat wraps up. Is that right, Joyce? Anything on the agenda tomorrow?
Well, there's more talking, but you know, Dawn, cabinet retreats, they're huddled in some room in this hotel, and, you know, they come up occasionally and talk to us, but it's cabinet secrecy. They're not going to tell us what they're talking about, but we know that the economy is on the agenda. We know that NAFTA is on the agenda. We know that these tax loopholes for small businesses that have created such a controversy across the country, and especially here in these provinces, in the maritime provinces, well, that's on the agenda as well. So a lot more of that tomorrow, and we'll hear from the Prime Minister tomorrow. But before I go, Dawn, I have to say happy birthday, because today is your birthday. That's what I'm told. So happy birthday to you.
Okay. It's kind of a repressed memory for me nowadays, frankly, Joyce, but thank you anyway. Hey, have you had a chance to be screeched in yet, by the way, in St. John's?
Absolutely not. No, I haven't kissed a cod yet, but I really haven't had that much time. We've been working very hard. But, you know, hopefully maybe tomorrow I'll be able to, you know, embark on that totally new adventure.
It's an experience. I've done it. All right. Thank you, Joyce. Appreciate that. Have fun. All right. As Joyce was mentioning, there's this looming dispute between Boeing, who filed the complaint, and Bombardier, a Canadian manufacturer on airlines, whether unfair trade practices have been going on, unfair subsidies, undercutting the price. This will all be decided, at least initially, by the U.S. Department of Commerce in just 2 weeks. And that's just as another round of NAFTA talks kicks off. Let's get more on this from Chris Sands. He's director of the Center for Canadian Studies at Johns Hopkins University. He's in our Washington studio. So, Chris, the argument is that Canadian taxpayers subsidize Bombardier. They sell jets at an unfair discount into the U.S. market. But don't all governments help airlines make sales happen at lowest price possible?
Well, that absolutely is true. And Boeing is, I think, smarting over a strategy they had with Airbus. When Airbus first came on the scene, they said, well, Airbus is small. They're not really going to compete with us. And so they didn't challenge some of the subsidies that Airbus had to get into the market that helped them win over a lot of big customers and then get a chunk of the market that Boeing had thought was theirs for the asking. So now they see Bombardier, small player for sure, but they've decided to challenge those subsidies early on and try to undermine Bombardier before it becomes a much bigger competitor in the U.S. market and globally.
Well, is the U.S. Commerce Department, this is an arm of the U.S. government, likely to rule against a U.S. jet manufacturer that's trying to boost sales domestically?
Well, dumping is one of those things that is, there's a formula for looking at how much, what the price should have been, and both sides will claim what the list price ought to have been and what the discount was and whether the discount